Franciscan Methodist Episcopal Church last night. They released stills from a security video that authorities say show 21-year-old Dylan Roth entering the church about an hour before the shooting. Earlier today, the Justice Department said it's investigating the shooting as a hate crime.
Reverend Dr. Norval Goff is a presiding elder of the African Methodist Episcopal Church in South Carolina. He oversees the church where the pastor and eight others were killed. Reverend Goff, thank you for joining us, and let me first say our condolences.
Solicit the prayers of this nation and also all residents of the state of South Carolina.
Which Attorney General Loretta Lynch called barbaric.
Acts like this one have no place in our country and no place in a civilized society. Clear. The individual who committed these acts will be found and will face justice.
For more on this, we go to Richard Cohen, president of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and it says a hate crime, as we said. What would you call it?
It's an obvious hate crime. You know, he's somebody with white supremacist leanings who was clearly motivated by, you know, this belief that black people were taking over the country. It's something that we hear from the white supremacist world all the time. It's a very, very common belief in white supremacist circles.
Dylan Roth captured by police in North Carolina earlier today. I wonder, was he on your radar at all?
No, we did not know him, but we certainly knew many, many people like him.
And particularly in our Charleston community.
Did you know Reverend Pinckney?
Yes.
What can you tell us about him?
A very energetic, promising, very active pastor and political leader in our state, which had a bright future. There was no limit to where Reverend Senator Pinckney would have ended up. But most certainly those of us who knew him, labored with him in the various segments of our community, he was a bridge builder. He was a family man. He leaves behind in this senseless act by one shooter at the moment,
a
wife and two young daughters. And we solicit your prayers and the prayers of the nation for the family of Reverend Senator Pinckney and the other eight victims of this senseless act.
The call of a shooting that had occurred at the church here on Calhoun Street. When officers arrived, they found a number of victims inside, and we had also individuals that were transported to the MUSC Emergency Trauma Center. We were able to determine that there were eight deceased individuals inside of the church. Two individuals were transferred to the MUSC. One of them has died. So at this point, we have nine victims in this heinous crime that has been committed. Inoperable. We are looking for a white male, approximately 21 years old. sandy blonde hair. And he obviously is extremely dangerous.
People in prayer on a Wednesday evening, a ritual, coming together, praying and worshiping God, to have a awful person come in and shoot them is inexplicable, obviously the most intolerable and unbelievable act possible.
Well, again, let me welcome you to Mother of Madness.
Disaffected young people who perhaps thought they had not such a great future, who decide to try to glom onto something larger than themselves, something that they see as heroic. You know, they're going to save the white race. And that appears to be how he saw himself and why he did what he did.
I want to talk about his Facebook profile. We've seen pictures that show him wearing a jacket decorated with flags from two former white supremacist regimes, apartheid-era South Africa and Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe. When you see that picture, if you have seen it, what does the image say to you?
Well, it says exactly that, right? He's trying to identify with a larger cause and, you know, express his, you know, ethnic pride. You know, white people, a certain segment, a small segment, but a violent segment of kind of white people in our country see themselves as endangered. You know, President Obama, his motto was change in 2008. Well, for many people, President Obama represents the kind of change that they're scared of. You know, we've seen an increase in the number of hate groups over the past 15 years, and it's been fueled by kind of our country's changing demographics. Diversity is a great strength in our country, but these kinds of changes also produce a backlash, and that is what I think the crime in Charleston, South Carolina represents.
But
Power Radio, Radio. This is Dr. Furious signing in here Thursday night, WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carbro 103.5. Micro powered, furiously bass radio, including there's some Massive Attack bass. Started off some Low End Theory, and this is Massive Attack remix by Bass Nectar. I'm Dr. Furious, do it every Thursday, part of the time here on WCOM where we spotlight some crazy stuff going down in the world. And there just happens to be terribly awful stuff happening with Charleston, so we're going to shine a spotlight on that. Some other crazy stuff going down. As well as some other new music I got from Young Fathers, new local guy named Decrypt London, and some other cool stuff. So we got some new music coming in from all over the world, from supporters, as well as some crazy news of this and that. If you like what you're hearing, go to furiousg.blogspot.com, and you can hear some old shows where we've been spotlighting the craziness of the world since, oh man, we've been doing it in the radio world since 2009, 1999, but here at WCOM since 2004-ish. So you can hear about all those old shows. Go to FuriousG.blogspot or go to WCUMFM.org where you can hear about this amazing, learn about this amazing thing we got going on here. Micropowered, non-commercial, genuine community-based radio. So for all those out there who already know all about it, just sit back, buckle up, have fun. Those who might be experiencing the furiousness for the first time, I should let you know the show may be a little offensive to your dangling members. So, we're going to get into it. Thanks for listening to Community Based Radio. I'm furious!
Kick through traffic, rush hour, GT bent, Leaf is absent. Your girl present with the music blasted, with the music blasted, with the music blast. And I move like the kick through traffic, rush hour, GT bent, Leaf is absent. And I move like the, and I move like the, and I move, and I move, and I move.
I spoke with him. Vice President Biden spoke with Mayor Joe Riley and other leaders of Charleston to express our deep sorrow over the senseless murders that took place last night. Michelle and I know several members of Emmanuel AME Church. We knew their pastor, Reverend Clementa Pinckney, who, along with eight others, gathered in prayer and fellowship and was murdered last night. Thoughts and prayers are with them and their families and their community.
Staying with that symbol for just a moment, the apartheid flag on the jacket, you know, maybe the more obvious symbol that we're familiar with is the swastika, but is it equivalent?
Well, I mean, you know, I would say they both represent racial hatred. Right, the swastika, clearly the South African flag, the Rhodesian flag. I mean, they represent nothing more than racial hatred. You know, it's odd to me still. You know, the South Carolina has the Confederate flag, another symbol of apartheid, still flying on the grounds of its capital. I think they ought to think about taking it down.
Just a little story about our church and how it really ties into the life of African Americans in South Carolina and also a little bit in the nation. I mentioned to you earlier that the founder of our church, his name was Morris Brown, who later became the second leader of our denomination, founded this church in what was actually a three-part circuit in the African-American community outside of the city of Charleston. Several hundred years ago, it wasn't Calhoun Street. It was called Boundary Street. City boundaries out in the country or the suburbs is where most of the African-Americans in the greater Charleston area resided. Their freedom. The majority of them stayed outside of the Charleston area. And so there were churches in and around the area, in particular three, and then later became one church. In about 1822, there was an interesting minister here in the church whose name was Denmark Veazey. And Denmark Veazey led planned an insurrection. And it was planned, the rebellion was planned so well that once the authorities found out about it, they had a little Guantanamo experiment. They basically took Denmark Veazey and all of the co-conspirators that they could find. And they interrogated them. And they, for years, did not really reveal the plan because they were afraid that someone else would pick it up and actually put it into practice. And that was from a minister who was here at the church. From the Denmark Veazey incident, the state of South Carolina really, really got concerned and scared. And so we have the Military College of South Carolina. Does anybody know what that is? The Military College of South Carolina? The Citadel. Does anyone know where the original site of the Citadel was? You actually passed it on Meeting Street. The old Embassy Suites Hotel is the old Citadel. The guns of the Citadel were basically facing this site and the community of Africans, African Americans, who were living in this area. It was later on that the state of South Carolina, because of the work of black congregations in Charleston, to include Emanuel, who were teaching persons to read and really, in a sense, sort of fomenting this desire that all people should be free in the state, basically put out a law or instituted a law that closed Emanuel. I mean, by state law, the church was closed, along with others. And it was about 40 years until the church was reestablished. And so that year that it was reestablished was the end of the Civil War. And so the history of our church and African Americans and Africans, as we were known in those days, in Charleston, has a significant tie. And it was in 1863 when the Civil War was really turning. And right after the Emancipation Proclamation was introduced and decreed, that missionaries from Baltimore actually came down, reestablished the church, along with setting up other churches across the area, work across the state. And so the history of our church and many churches in the area follow government policy. And that's interesting. State policy and federal policy, closing and reestablishing a church, something that really hadn't happened since, you know, the Holy Roman Empire.
Often that what the Confederate flag actually means in the South. But what about churches themselves? Are they often targets of violence?
Churches have been traditionally targets of white supremacist violence, not just in the 50s and 60s. We had a case where we represented a black church that was burned down by Klansmen in South Carolina 20 years ago this month. And of course, it's not only black places of worship that have been targeted in our country. You know, there have been temple bombings. 3 years ago, there was a terrible tragedy in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, when a white supremacist gunman walked into a Sikh temple and killed six people. But of course, black churches have had far more than their share.
This case, again, we see another young white man allegedly responsible for committing a mass killing. Is this something that your group is thinking about, those young white men committing the crimes?
Well, I mean, we see a lot of people who feel like their birthright has been stolen from them. You know, economic dislocations, globalization has left them with, you know, kind of an uncertain future. And, you know, people, certain people have been, you know, kind of lashing out. You know, in the last, you know, last 6 years or so, we've seen a tremendous number of kind of lone wolf attacks motivated by racial hatred. And this, unfortunately, is among the most violent.
Richard Cohn with the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Reverend, we should say that Reverend Pinckney was the youngest African American legislator in South Carolina history when he was elected back in 1997. The church is among the oldest black churches in the South. Reverend, can you tell us a little bit about this church?
Well, this church is most certainly a hallmark of African Methodism in the South. It's a place where change has taken place down through the history, even from slavery until now. The church is a destination point when one comes to the city of Charleston. Mother Emanuel is noted for bringing about change and working together to build bridges, not only in the Charleston community, but across this nation and across the state. Bishop Norris most certainly would implore us to understand that at this moment in time in our history, we too must continue to stand for what is right and to help make a difference. And violence in any place is not acceptable on any level.
I do believe this was a hate crime.
Is that why the FBI is being investigated?
It will be investigated as a hate crime, but the FBI would be here regardless because of the size and scope of the investigation. And they're our partners, and they would be here to help us regardless, but they're here for that specific person also.
Doesn't say enough to convey the heartache and the sadness and the anger that we feel.
Is the swift speed at which investigators were able to track this person down in a matter of 15 hours.
Thomas, first of all, I apologize for my voice. I'm losing it just a little bit here, but you're right. The speed with which they were able to track down this suspect is really remarkable. You kind of felt it last night when they specifically said the person they were looking for was 21 years old. That was a clear indication. They knew who they were looking for. Obviously, they had surveillance video, and then they have video of his car as well. So. It was easier to track him down once they had that. You know, along with the relief in this community is a sense of real grief. We are just now learning about some of the people who were killed inside that church, the 9 people killed in that church. I want to introduce you to the brother of one of those victims. This is Malcolm Graham. Malcolm is a former state senator from North Carolina. His sister, Cynthia Hurd, was a member of that congregation. First of all, my condolences to you, Malcolm. I know this is just a tragic day for you and your family.
It's a trying day for our family, but our faith is strong. We trust in God. Cynthia was in church. We grew up in Emmanuel AME Church. She was an active member of the congregation. And we're trying to rationalize something that is so irrational, that we're just trying to stay strong and true to our faith.
South Carolina, and he joins me now. Rick, you knew the Reverend, just 41 years old, but he leaves an indelible footprint on Charleston and certainly now for the history of America.
Yes, he does. Senator Pastor Clemente Pinckney was, I guess, best depicted what servant leadership was all about. I knew him. I worked in the House of Representatives and the Senate here, but I knew him more as a man of God who really just wanted to serve the people of his district and the people of South Carolina, and he's going to be sorely missed. Along with the families of all of the other victims, I offer them my sincere thoughts and prayers.
I would say they both represent racial hatred, right? The swastika, clearly. The South African flag, the Rhodesian flag. I mean, they represent nothing more than racial hatred. You know, it's odd to me still, you know, that South Carolina has the Confederate flag, another symbol of apartheid, still flying on the grounds of its capital.
And kings establishing churches. And so it's quite interesting. And later on, as Judge Washington and others can tell you better than I can, in the 1960s, many churches were involved. Many people were involved in the life of the community and in changing the lives and in changing laws and helping people to live better in our area. In a nutshell, you can say that the African American church, and in particular in South Carolina, really has seen it as its responsibility and its ministry and its calling to be fully integrated and caring about the lives of its constituents and the general community. We don't see ourselves, or many of us don't see ourselves as just a place where we come and worship, but as a beacon and as a bearer of the culture and a bearer of what makes us a people. But I like to say that this is not necessarily unique to us. It's really what America is all about. Could we not argue that America is about freedom, whether we live it out or not? But it really is about freedom, equality, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's what church is all about. Freedom to worship and freedom from sin, freedom to be full what God intends us to be, and have equality in the sight of God. And sometimes you got to make noise to do that. Sometimes you may have to die like Denmark Vesey to do that. Sometimes you have to march, struggle, and be unpopular to do that. And I'm sure that throughout this day, as you were at our sister church and probably talked to Dr. Lover from Liberty Hill and others, he probably shared some of the same stories about the Delanes and others from the Summerton area. And so I just wanted to share that about the church, and also to say that along with Commissioner Washington, we're both ministers who are involved in public policy and involved in lawmaking.
And Rick, you're going to be preaching this Sunday on Father's Day. This is going to be the hardest Father's Day for the Pinckney family. He was just 41 years old, married, father of two. But this is going to be a hard Father's Day for everybody in and around Charleston, those that are familiar with those that have been lost. What are the reflections? What do you want to talk to people about this Sunday if they feel that they aren't safe being black in their own church?
You know, it is. It is a very tough Sunday that we anticipate on Father's Day. He had two beautiful kids. And I think it's going to be a tough Father's Day and tough days and weeks and months to come for all of us in America, particularly those of us who consider ourselves people of faith. I've even been struggling with what my message, because this is one of those tough things where we're taught to love our enemy, to love those who persecute us. We're taught to embrace justice and fairness. And what's fascinating and I think most disturbing about this, which troubles my soul, is that this young kid, Dylan, who sat with them, he entered into their sanctuary, most divine place of worship, for some time. And then he slayed them. It is the most heinous act of betrayal that I have ever witnessed. And it troubles me a great deal. And I imagine it troubles people across America.
Dylan Roffa captured by police in North Carolina earlier today. I wonder, was he on your radar at all?
No, we did not know him, but we certainly knew many, many people like him. Disaffected young people who perhaps thought they had not such a great future, who decide to try to glom onto something larger than themselves, something that they see as heroic. You know, they're going to save the white race. And that appears to be how he saw himself and why he did what he did.
I want to talk about his Facebook profile. We've seen pictures that show him wearing a jacket decorated with flags from two former white supremacist regimes, apartheid-era South Africa and Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe.
The mayor and the police chief indicating that this is a hate crime, which it is.
Reverend Goff, what did you think when you heard this news? It's still very hard for people to wake up and comprehend that this actually happened in South Carolina.
Well, I would agree with you. You can't put your mind around it. You cannot identify this kind of evil on this level because it is so horrific and unbelievable. We are the people of faith must keep on praying and working together on all levels to help bring about constructive change. Bishop Norris will have a prayer vigil at 12 noon at Marsh Brown College here in Charleston today, which he will have a press release, and we are looking forward to that. We will gather in mass, and we will have a statement to be made at that time.
Reverend Norval Goff, thank you for your time this morning.
When you see that picture, if you have seen it, what does the image say to you?
Well, it says exactly that, right? He's trying to identify with a larger cause. And, you know, express his, you know, ethnic pride. You know, white people, a certain segment, a small segment, but a violent segment of kind of white people in our country see themselves as endangered. You know, President Obama, his motto was change in 2008. Well, for many people, President Obama represents the kind of change that they're scared of. You know, we've seen an increase in the number of hate groups over the past 15 years, and it's been fueled by kind of our country's changing demographics. Diversity is a great strength in our country, but these kinds of changes also produce a backlash, and that is what I think the crime in Charleston, South Carolina represents.
But
this sort is a tragedy. Any shooting involving multiple victims is a tragedy. There is something particularly heartbreaking about a death happening in a place in which we seek solace.
Who are people of faith. And as I think about my message on Sunday, it still has to be a message of hope, a message of love, but yet recognizing that we also have to stand up as people of faith and speak more about tolerance and acceptance and understanding.
The character. I hate old white people take him so seriously.
Right. The character.
He's so terrible.
But he is always like, going after rap as the reason for every ill.
More full of shit than an outhouse.
Right.
Like, I'm gonna go in a black club and see Bill O'Reilly with a stripper in his lap. I guarantee you that.
No,
he's as
fictional no,
as those books he writes, as what Patton would have done. And we know it's an act. We know it's, and I think the best.
No, you're wrong. I know, Bill. That is not an act.
Bill is full of shit.
You know, he may be full of shit, but is sincere shit.
Really?
Of course. People really think that way. What are you, crazy?
Not him. He can't.
Mike, you're the one living
it. That means I'm going to fight him one day.
No, you're not. But he, this thing I was just talking about, the religion, like the Christians losing Christians, he blames that on rap music. And because like the people who are least likely to leave Christianity are black folks.
Oh, no, particularly black women, they're not leaving. My mama and sisters and grandma.
No, I know.
It's Jesus to the end.
Yeah,
Jesus was like the original rapper,
saying.
Though.
Right.
He was arguably a black guy, or at least dark, hung with a posse of homies. One of them was strapped with a knife, went to war with the government, lost, like a lot of black guys do. And everybody loved him more after he died, like Tupac.
And he may not have existed at all.
Okay.
Agree.
You agree?
Oh, yeah. Deny me three times.
Art. Thrice.
call my phone. Don't you worry. Trust what I do for me and you. Just keep it true.
If yeah. You love lost soul with the presence of a king and the heart of a lion. I'm done trying to prove to you all that my talent out with the bad in me. What more do you want from me? I been recognized the flaws in me. Mama said the only one that I care about me. She was probably right, though. And then my dad, what a son knows. I was trying to balance life and pushing to be the next Pac led me to a dark road. Choice that I made only affect both myself and my family. As long as I had it, I ain't care how this thing go. All they wanted were the best for me. I wrestled so build walls with resentment on my front door. Always felt they was out to get me. I still feel they don't understand me. My sister attacks, my nephew neglect. What you want me to do is just one me. I could be one place at once. No sleep, got me operating slowly. Often isolate myself, cause I feel most safe when it's just me. Cause every time out, people wanna tell me about life and how I should be drink. Want me to take their path, when their whole life they walk that path with two left feet. So, if I'm not at birthday dinners, I go weeks without text. Don't get in your feelings, I'm on a mission. So we can lay back.
Would let me work. Won't call my phone. Don't you worry. Trust what I do for me and you. Just keep it true. If you love me, you would let me work. Won't call my phone. Don't you worry. Trust what I do for me and you. Just keep it true. If you love me.
Yeah, nowadays on a grown call I greet new faces with co-song. I don't know my friends no more. All them stand-up guys turn RuPaul. Paul ever suck on my loved ones. So that four-letter word, it is long gone. Never had hugs growing up. When I searched for it, seemed the search went all wrong. I used more girls in the dressing room. So that thought of taking you serious never came true. I don't even know why I tried to. Cause I'm constantly falling in my ex. That kind of always bring what we had. And I seem lonely love her. Every time I see her back, I try that girlfriend thing, but I'm stressed out. I can't even go to a mama house without her bringing up diplomas and not telling me how she don't understand my route. But I'm sorry, mama. Your daughter don't date no scholar or a doctor with a tassel on the rear view of his Impala. Got her feeling like Moesha and I'm cute. And you acting more frank. And quite frankly, opinion might know. Cause I'm dating your daughter if it ain't you. So if I'm not consuming your stuff and all Thanksgiving, or if I don't come around and visit, I'm on a mission. So we can lay back.
Would let me work. Won't call my phone. Don't you worry. Trust what I do.
All right, everybody. Hey, listen, it's Dr. Furious signing in here late night, Thursday night. Part of the WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro late night experience on the Furious George Show. We are playing right there some music from Drake London, who's a Raleigh, North Carolina MC. The new release, so we thought we'd play some of that. This thing called Layback's pretty cool. Bam. Also, been playing some new music all over the place. Brand new stuff from the Young Fives, which actually I'm going to throw you one more track from them before we send out the into the next hour. But of course, and unfortunately, we have had nothing... nothing on our minds except the terrible, heartbreaking stuff going down in Charleston right now. So we are just kind of just checking that out, following that, and doing what we can to support micro-powered media about it. So if you like that, check out furiousg.blogspot.com, where you can hear about all our old shows and see some of our old, you know, well, Furious shows going back to all the other crazy topics, including this last year. We've talked about Black Lives Matter for many different shows, but also Furious Disobedience and climate stuff and anti-war stuff. So anyway, if you like that stuff, you can check out some of the old shows. You can also always go to WCOMFM.org and help out micro-powered WCOM Radio, Carrboro Radio, Chapel Hill Radio, by supporting the station however you can. And if that includes giving money or time, awesome. And if that time includes listening, that's awesome too. Thanks for doing just that. We're going to get back into it. I want to just let folks know the show may be offensive or heavy or intense, so we're going to keep it rocking with some of that. Doing this right here. This is brand new stuff from Young Fathers. Brand new album, which is called... White Men Are Black Men 2, ironically enough. The song's called Rain or Shine. Thanks for listening to Mike Power Radio. I'm furious!
The South African flag, the Rhodesian flag. I mean, they represent nothing more than racial hatred. You know, it's odd to me still, you know, that South Carolina has the Confederate flag, another symbol of apartheid, still flying on the grounds of its capital.
Benjamin E. Mays talked about many years ago.
Yeah, as Nikki Haley said, this is just something that's going to bring the whole community of Charleston, if not other places, together with better resolve.
We seek peace in a place of worship. Mother Emanuel is, in fact, more than a church. This is a place of worship that was founded by African Americans seeking liberty.
Yes.
What can you tell us
so.
About him?
A very energetic, promising, very active pastor and political leader in our state, which had a bright future. There was no limit to where Reverend Senator Pinckney would have ended up.
And there are many people who say, why would you as a preacher, why would you as a pastor be involved in public life? And I've already said it, but I'll say it again. Our calling is not just within the walls of the congregation, but we are part of the life and community in which our congregation resides.